Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In those comfy warm seats, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and Anthony Mandela, Leroy Butler.
Is it wet again?
Leaps in here in a few minutes.
No, I just don't like sitting in a warm chair.
They're
I
wet. They're damp often.
Yeah, no, it's not damp.
This one's damp at about 10:03.
I have never heard of somebody calling the chair damp or warm.
Only on the fan.
You don't like a warm seat?
No.
That's like when you walk away and somebody would grab your spot and you go, hey man, thanks for keeping it warm for me. There's just a little comfort with it.
Hate it.
You hate it. That's a pet peeve of yours.
Can't stand it.
Wow. See,
I literally grabbed one chair. It was warm. I was like, okay, I'm going to get the other chair. By the way,
just walks around here grabbing all the different chairs.
What happened to all the chairs that were in here?
Talk to Craig.
There's one guy in there spinning some top 40 music, and he's got seven chairs in there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They come in the morning, they take our chairs, we take them back in the afternoon, they take them back in the morning.
Oh. It's pretty fun. It's fun. Yeah, it's
okay.
Awesome.
Let's get to the show.
Yeah, let's get into the show as we talk about Steve's warm bottom. We'll get into that a little bit later. We got some just huge guests coming in today. It's a big show. There's a reason why. Dan Shonka, Our Lads Draft Services, joins us at 2:35. Paul Wagner, former Brewer, joins the show at 2:48. John Heyman, our Radio.com Sports Insider, joins us at 3:48. Talk Keuchel and Kimbrel and what in the world the Brewers are going to do. Hopefully we have some concrete information when Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee Baseball Insider, joins us at 4:48 for Miller Park. But Stevie, speculation running rampant down here on Twitter and the mentions, and the feeling is, and Adam McAlvey penned it at Brewers.com earlier today, saying that right now it feels like Corbin Burnes, the best situation for him to do is go down to the minor leagues after his four starts. And some people are speculating that it's already going to happen. We'll know something closer probably within the next couple of hours as Craig Counsell talks to those guys coming up here right after 3:30. But for Corbin Burnes, he's 3 years into professional baseball. I think that's one really interesting part of the Adam McAlvey piece, and you can find it at 1057fmthefan.com here in a couple of minutes. There's quotes in there from Chris Hook, Brewers pitching coach, and he speaks to the issues that Corbin is going through right now in his third full season of professional baseball as something a lot of guys are going through at AA, AAA. Corbin ran through the minor leagues as a 2017 minor leaguer of the year, appears in 15 games, I want to say, is the exact number that he had in AAA before last year when he comes up and is joining the team in the middle of a pennant race. And right now, he's going through some issues that a lot of guys are doing in their AA, AAA farm systems. He's doing them at the major league level against teams that are all going to be battling for playoff positions. Would the Brewers be making a mistake sending Corbin Burnes down right now, facing his fifth start coming up on Monday against the Cardinals?
I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think it's a complete panic move. And normally you don't see them panic, or at least you haven't really seen them panic over the last
That's
year
true.
Or two. Now, obviously, when you get in a position where people are talking about you in a World Series, that's different expectations than this team really has had for quite some time, maybe since Braun and Fielder. When you get to within a game of the World Series and your owner then says, you know what? I'm good spending like $17, $18 million on a catcher for 1 year in Grandal. Sure, let's go do it. Sure, you want more money to go get Keuchel or Kimbrel? David, you do what you got to do, buddy. Okay. So clearly he's invested in go for it now mode. We went over the schedule yesterday on the big show. This schedule doesn't let up to like middle of May.
No.
It is stupid what kind of schedule they've got to go against as far as potential playoff teams that you're facing here going forward. Road and home. It doesn't really matter where you're playing. You're facing a tough opponent. So I really believe that if this wasn't a World Series type deal this year, which it clearly is, I just don't think that they're panicking and possibly sending Corbin Burns down to AAA. I just don't think that's happening. But because you're in win now mode, which is we're trying to be the best record in the NL. We're trying to have home field throughout. We're trying to own this thing. Okay, fine. So I get it. So every game is more important than maybe it has been in years past, especially when you're facing against other teams where it could come down to tiebreakers or whatever else. You're trying to win all these games in the National League. But it's one thing if you have a suitable replacement. It's another when you don't have a replacement. And with all due respect, you don't have one. Not right now, you don't. If you're sending Corbin Burns down because you're signing Dallas Keuchel, okay, I get that. Sure, I'll hear that. If you're sending Corbin Burns down to give Chase Anderson a rotation spot, that I'm not going to understand. And not only do you have to replace him, but you also have to replace Freddie Peralta, who's on the IL. So you're going to have to replace him too. Is that going to be Adrian Hauser? I don't see, and that's the thing. So Peralta goes down. Okay, so we'll slide Chase in there, and we're good. Now you're going to go out of your way to open up another hole in the rotation.
Right.
Now again, if this is for Dallas Keuchel, if that's what they do, all right, I'm down.
Cool.
Fine. Corbin, you go work on your stuff. Dallas Keuchel, you slot in. You're staying there the rest of the year. And then Peralta and Burns can battle it out for the other spot in the rotation when Peralta's ready against Chase Anderson. Those three battle for that other spot. Woodruff stays. Davies stays. Chacin stays. Keuchel stays. And then it's those two battling for the other rotation spot. And we go from there. That's what it is, fine. But if it's, we're going to send him down and then roll the dice on a bunch of other guys that I don't think anybody is really sold on at this point, because if you're saying Corbin Burns is home run derby, so is Chase Anderson.
Oh, no doubt he is. And he was last year. He gave up 31 homers and led the major leagues with it.
And was not on the postseason roster.
Right. He was cut off of the rotation, I want to say, late August? They stopped letting him make starts. And you bring up a great point with the suitable replacement, but to an extent, when does Corbin start harming himself, getting his brains beating here at the major league level?
No. You know that dude?
Yes, I consider him a very, very well, headstrong young man.
You don't think he's fragile?
No, I don't believe so. I think he's very confident in his stuff.
Well, then what are you worried about? I mean, that's just it. I'm worried
about the clubhouse possibly losing faith in him every time he goes up and onto the mound.
Dude, I don't... See, this is the thing. You are going to go into the season with these three young dudes in the rotation. Like we talked about, you have to have the faith in them that, look, we go through a rough patch, we're riding with you. We're going to ride with you. We're not going to panic and freak out if you go through a rough patch. We'll figure it out together, and you're going to be fine. And everybody in that clubhouse had to know it. These are the same guys, outside of Grandal, these are the same guys that were huge Corbin Burns fans last year when he was locking it down in the bullpen.
Absolutely.
Right? Peralta doing his thing in the bullpen, striking out a dozen at a time in the rotation, loving some Woodruff in the bullpen. Same dudes loving him. These guys all know how talented this guy is. This is not Corbin Burns going into the Pirates clubhouse and them kind of seeing what he did in Milwaukee, but really not knowing the dude or whatever it is. That's not what this is. So, I don't think they're going to bail on him from a standpoint of supporting him in the clubhouse. I don't think that's going to happen. You got a bunch of guys that have been there and done that. Moustakas and Kane and Braun. And these guys are going to be there. But don't worry about it. You're going to figure it out. In the meantime, we'll help you on offense. Mm-hmm. We'll get you some runs, right? So, I think there's that. I don't worry about his confidence. I don't. Remember, this kid added two more pitches this last offseason to increase what he can throw. The problem is he's not throwing everything, you know, the whole game. He's waiting until he's down 4-0. Then we're going to go get the other couple pitches.
And it all is starting because he's just not locating his fastball well.
And that's any pitcher in baseball.
Anybody. We were having the same conversation about Freddie in spring training when he's walking the whole yard and you were yelling at me, well, calm down, Billy. We're out at American Family Fields of Phoenix. Dude can't locate his fastball. He's not going to be able to win if he's throwing strikes that are low in the zone. Corbin's just missing straight on up in the zone. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been harping on the Yasmani Grandal bandwagon of this, but I wonder if that is part of it as well, that there's a familiarity like you've been pointing to
Corbin Burns hasn't
been able to relate with.
Corbin Burns never got Manny Pena.
He never
got him.
Peralta got him, and I believe, did Woodruff get him once?
Davies got him.
Davies got him, yes, out in LA.
That's it.
Yep.
I mean, Peralta's got him twice, actually. The second time was, we're going to go down again, unlike the Cincinnati game where he pitched well and he pitched up in the zone. And Peralta gave up runs early in that game, too. 1-6, but he gave up runs early in that game. Mm-hmm. But like I've also said, I think part of this is a pitching coach, too, man. I mean, a lot of this has to be game planning as well. Now, I agree with you that a lot of it is, look, if I call for it here, throw it here. Don't throw it
for sure.
Over here.
Execution
or up here,
is,
over
is
there.
Number one here.
Right. Everybody's got to be on this involved in the game plan here. But the other part is, too, that, look, if Burns is missing with something early, let's not have him keep throwing it for the next five innings. Oh, give up a two-run homer. I'll call it again next inning and see what happens. Oh, you gave up another one? Oh, maybe we shouldn't call that anymore. Maybe we'll call a couple other pitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mix it up a little bit now.
But see, and I don't like going after Grindahl for this. I've never been a catcher. I don't know anything about the position. All I know is this kid was absolutely fine last year with Manny Pena and Eric Kratz. And now we have a different catcher, and now we're having some issues. And to his point, Grindahl said this is taking a lot longer of a process, taking a lot longer of time to get on the board with the pitchers than I thought it was going to take. And you have a new pitching coach. I'm sorry. That's going to play into it, too. This all goes together.
Got a new pitching coach, a new catcher, and this catcher's not working with Clayton Kershaw, Rich Hill, and a bunch of other studs that mm-hmm. the LA Dodgers did for the last couple of years. 414-799-1250. Would the Brewers be making a mistake sending Corbin Burns down right now? There's a part of it that I get into after the break where I think it could only help him. But Sparky, like you said, it might be costing them wins at the major league level. But when the Bucks win, you win, so it's all good whenever you're at Wendy's.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
See, come on. Talk about something happy. Save that frustration for after the break so then you can take your hat off.
Talk about
see
something
that
happy.
Go.
Yeah, that's right. Bucks play tomorrow night, which means another Bucks win tomorrow
got my
night.
Old school red Bucks shooting shirt on. Hit a lot of jumpers in those. A lot of jumpers.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
This is probably 2011.
We've got some shooting shirts at home as well. But ours are more green than that. You only have one shoulder of green on that.
Yeah,
thing.
One little shoulder and like three Adidas, the three stripe life over here on the right side.
Yeah, too. I've never seen.
Yeah, I like this one.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen that one. That's pretty cool. Did it fit that way when you got it too?
A little bit snug.
It's snug now a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah. No, it was always snug.
It was
yeah,
a little snug.
Always a little snug.
I should have got you a size that fits better. I mean, they got the money. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger with the purchase of a medium drink. So they're going to Detroit tomorrow. They're going to whip the Pistons. In fact, I talked to one of our old colleagues here at the Fan, Jeff Rieger, who works at the Ticket in Detroit, who we've had on many times. He called me this afternoon and asked if he could come back here to work. Because
he likes this basketball team, huh?
Because it's no fun covering this series currently for anybody in Detroit.
I mean, can't think it's fun.
You can't blame them,
hey,
right?
At least their arena's named after pizza, though.
That's true. And their coach today said before he leaves, all of the upper deck seats will be sold out, you know, going forward, game to game, before Casey leaves Detroit, he said.
Oh.
He made that statement today.
That's a bold proclamation.
So maybe they're trading for LeBron. So when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's.
They got Blake Griffin 6 days into a contract.
Right. So the Bucks win tomorrow night, then you take advantage of it on Easter Sunday, I guess it would be. Buy yourself a medium drink and either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And, of course, tomorrow night, I'll be back on the air along with Jeff Orlovsky and Evan, the chairman of the DJ Wilson Fan Club. And we'll have the Pick 'n Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show presented to you by Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Buy it at Pick 'n Save. Get the pepperoni one. It's delicious. My favorite.
That sounds fantastic. Can't wait. Might have to throw one in tonight as we're in here for the Bayview Shaving Line postgame show. Myself and Tim Allen will get lineups and more before Brewers and Dodgers game two. Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin on Deck show starts here on The Fan at 6. Wendy's big show up until then. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, asking you at 414-799-1250 and live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Will the Brewers be making a mistake sending down Corbin Burns just 4 starts into 2019? Your reaction and more next here on 1057FM The Fan.
You know, I think we're going to have a longer conversation this time and try to figure out what the best way to get him on track is. In his first 3 starts, I mean, I thought he threw the ball well. Today, I didn't think he threw the ball that well outside the first inning. Corbin is a tough kid, and he is a competitive kid, and he will rebound from this. But we got to make sure we figure out the right way to allow him to do that and give him the best way to do that.
And is the best way to do that down in San Antonio? That's the skipper, Craig Counsell, talking about Corbin Burns after his start a couple of days ago against St. Louis Cardinals at home. Gives up just two homers in that one, a league-leading 11 for Corbin Burns, given up here in 2019 across his first four starts for the former fourth-round pick in 2016. Will the Brewers be making a mistake sending Corbin Burns down to work on his struggles at the minor league level instead of doing them at the major league level where he is right now? Across four starts, he's given up 21 earned runs. That number is just so staggering because the team's 12-8, and outside of Corbin Burns, it's not like everybody else, Sparky, is pitching all that tremendously in the rotation.
Davies is pitching really good.
Davies is.
He's the best one.
Chacin is still off to his normal slow start.
Yep, correct.
Brandon Woodruff seemed to figure some stuff out in his last start against the Cardinals, but still struggled in the big inning and in the sixth inning when he's trying to get out of there and close the deal on his start. Gives up a couple and leaves a couple of men on. Freddy Peralta wasn't looking great outside of the one start that he had in Cincinnati either. So part of me wants to allow Burns to work this out right now, but man, you look around this division, the Cubs are getting better. The Cardinals are a damn good team. The Pirates are going to be a battle for everybody. The Reds are going to put up some runs and win some games against different opponents. I just don't know how many more times you can let him run out at a major league level and struggle like this, because I can't think it's helping. And like Count said, he's a strong kid, tough-minded dude. Can't think Corbin Burns is going to take this too much to heart. But at some point, you're ruining the opportunity to win games here. And you're also hurting your bullpen because you're running a guy out there who hasn't given you given you five innings in any of these first four starts.
So who's going to give you five innings that you're bringing in? Well, same thing.
Hopefully Chase Anderson.
I continue to say the same thing.
Adrian Hauser went six shutout at San Antonio last time out.
And like you said, if Adrian Hauser ends up being a legit guy in this rotation going forward after he struggled with his injuries over the last couple of years, if he becomes a legitimate guy to go along with the Josh Hader part of that deal, and you've already moved on from Phillips and Santana, but Phillips helped you get a pretty nice piece in that deal. And now here you sit. And if Hauser comes up and does well, fine. I just don't think you have that proven commodity. Now, again, if that guy is Dallas Keuchel into the rotation, I'm with you. Then, okay, I get it. The other thing is, how long are we going to leave Corbin Burns down there for? Are you sending Corbin Burns down there with Hook and with Grandal?
No, you're sending him down there alone.
Okay, so if Corbin Burns goes down there alone and pitches seven shutout innings, six shutout innings, and just puts it together and comes back up here and goes back to home run derby again, then what? Then is it still his fault?
No, then I think they will start looking at what you've been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
No, they won't. No.
Well, the money is definitely clouding the image.
Then it's going to be, well, he's a 4A player. Maybe he's just a AAA guy. Maybe he's meant for the bullpen. Man. Maybe he's not meant to be a starter in the big leagues. Maybe he just ignore everything that happened at AAA and how well he's pitched. He just can't figure it out up here.
I think it's going to take a few years for that tune to come in on Corbin Burns.
It's not our catcher's fault. It's not our pitching coach's fault. It's not their fault. No, it's his fault. That's the issue. Okay, let's see. I'm going to have some patience with this. I know he's probably... Peralta is probably the most talented of them, I think. Burns is right there after that, and then probably Woodruff, in my opinion. Everybody's got their own opinion. Mm-hmm. Some would probably put Peralta third. But I just think that if he's not in this rotation at some point this year consistently, it's going to be awfully tough for this team. I'm telling you right now, because that was a guy that was supposed to be solidifying the top end of that rotation in that two or three slot. That's what you're hoping for.
And a quote from that I really like from Counts in this piece from Andrew Wagner at Brewers.com, and it's at 1057FMTheFan.com. It's important for us that Corbin is a starter. It's important that we give guys chances who have the stuff to be major league starters to start baseball games. Starters are hard to find. There aren't a lot of them out there. There aren't a lot of pitchers who can do that kind of stuff and have the stuff that Corbin has. You're bringing up one dude that has it at the major league level and has done it at the major league level in Keuchel, but I just struggle continually coming back to Dallas Keuchel in this sense because they were so dedicated to having these three guys in the rotation, but you can't let the dude run out there and risk him getting hurt like Freddy Peralta did. But if Freddy Peralta was a freak accident, you can't expect that to be an issue with you just giving up runs unless they find something mysteriously wrong with Corbin Burns in the next 2.5 hours before Craig Council talks to people at Miller Park.
Things happen that, you know, all the time. Ben tweets at the fan about Corbin Burns. Would it be a mistake for the Brewers to send down Corbin Burns? You can jump on as well. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Ben says, not if they think he needs to work on some mechanical issues. That's what the minors are for. Or they can leave him up here to work on things, and his ERA will be 55 by July, which hurts his confidence more, theoretically. This is what I think. I think if they left him up here, and if Chris Hook is anywhere close to as good as they keep saying he is, which we haven't seen it from anybody yet, if he's as good as they say he is, then he should be able to work this out with Burns, and this should not go on until July. You should be able to find a quicker resolve to the issues that you have.
True. Now, let me ask you this question.
If he's as good as they say he is.
Do you believe that it hurts them more if they don't send him down because they don't want to give him the 15-day, and like you said, he doesn't have Grandal, he doesn't have Hook? Are they in a position where they can let him skip a start? You skip
sure.
the start on Monday.
Yep.
So you don't have to see the Cardinals the third time in your
right.
first five starts.
Yep.
And an extra bullpen session can be
yep.
possibly what works this out.
That would have been great. I would have been fine with that if that's what you wanted to do. But so now you're going to send him down there. I'm just forewarning everybody, if that dude goes down there and pitches really well and comes back up here and we have home run derby again,
you are not going to be happy.
Just stay away from me.
Oh,
just
man.
Stay away from me about Corbin Burns. Just stay away. I don't want to hear it.
Stay away from you about Yasmani Grandal.
Right. Corbin, you don't have to talk to him. I'll talk to him for you. You just sit over there. I'll talk to counsel for you.
Would the Brewers be making a mistake sending Corbin Burns down 414-799-1250? They're making a mistake allowing him to be as bad as he has been the last four times out. You just cannot believe that he is this bad.
We got people tweeting. Tristan says it's a mistake for them to do nothing. Okay, fine. Buckaroo Banzai says, I would put him in the pen. Allison, yes, send him to the bullpen, if anything.
The bullpen is intriguing for me because I liked that to begin the season.
I don't want him. Listen, I would prefer him not go to the bullpen unless you have proven guys in the rotation that you can rely on,
sure.
that you know will be better than him. Dallas Keuchel, I'm down with that. Now, this whole Gio Gonzalez thing that's going on out there in New York with the Yankees.
Oh, that's your boy.
Now, I don't want Gio Gonzalez back either because there's no Derek Johnson. And Gio Gonzalez, the last couple of years, outside of his brief stint with Derek Johnson, has not been a very good pitcher. Right? He got lit up in New York. They are beyond deep. They don't need him. They're going to have to. He's going to make a decision whether or not to opt out, which he should. He just
mm-hmm.
got
oh,
rid of.
Absolutely, he should.
He just got rid of Scott Boras and Swiss agents to CAA. That just happened today. So now he moved on from him. I'm guessing that was a tie into the Brewers. He was a Boras client. That's how Mark ended up with him.
Could be.
I just don't think he can rekindle the same magic that he had here last year with the current setup they have now with Grandal and Hook. I'm not convinced of it. They may go down that road and roll the dice and go, oh, shot that pitching coach and the catcher. Gio, come on in here, buddy. You be the guy like you were last year again. Maybe they'll do that. And next thing you know, you have Keuchel and Gio Gonzalez and Chacin and Davies and Woodruff, and that's your five. And Peralta and Burns end up back in the bullpen.
Man, I just...
Could happen. Both of them are very possible.
Absolutely they
are. And we're going to talk to John Heyman more about this coming up at 3:48, our radio.com baseball insider, and you see him on MLB Network all the time. I'm looking forward to talking to John and seeing what he thinks the likelihood is of them getting Keuchel or Kimbrel for that matter. Right now, Keuchel makes more sense, especially if they plan on setting Burns down.
Let's take one quick call in here before Dan Shonka of Our Lad Draft Services joins us after the Sports Flash. Tony's on the south side of Milwaukee. Tony, would the Brewers be making a mistake sending down Burns?
Hey, yeah, just put him. Hey, just put Burn on the bullpen. But let me get a good point right now. That the Brewers really missing piece, Derek Johnson. Dude, we should pay him. We should keep him. He's the man. Look at when he left. You see, ERA right now, terrible, man. They're terrible. Look when you look at on the playoffs. Look at Derek Johnson. He fixed whoever come to the Brewers. He fixed them. Look at them now. They're all good now, man. But what happened? Derek Johnson's gone now. Bullpen trouble. Pitching is trouble, dude. Offense, no problem. But I'm scared, though. Before anything happening, I don't know, man. No good.
That's your boy. Thanks for the call, Tony. Derek Johnson, another soldier on the side, saying Derek Johnson should have been paid. I don't know as much of it. It could have been the money as if
the Brewers,
Cincinnati really liked it.
The Brewers are 14th in the National League in ERA at 5.22. The only team worse than the Brewers in team ERA right now is the New York Mets. That's the only team worse. 5.54 ERA. The Mets are the only team worse. Okay? Where do you think the Reds are in team ERA in the National League right now?
Like fifth?
Third.
Oh.
Third. 3.34. Almost two runs better.
Well, cautionary tale. The starters of the New York Mets are more solidified than these young starters in the Brewers rotation.
They are 6-12.
They feel it a lot better. Yeah, that's brutal.
And they have an ERA of 3.34. May want to talk to your pitch. You may want to talk to your hitters. Puig, Kemp, all those guys that you got this offseason, because they brought in a bunch of retreads for Derek Johnson in the starting rotation.
Oh, for sure they did.
Tanner Roark,
well,
and
they
those guys.
Got their boy Sonny Gray, and that was good for them.
I'm just saying. Just looking at it. Let's see here. Batting average against, .253 for the Brewers. Batting average against for the Reds, .231.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Was that worth an extra $2.5 million or whatever it was?
I don't know what he got paid.
I don't know what he got paid.
Nobody
and,
does.
And we don't know the personal situation either, so we'll get one more. Sean's in Mercedes
personal
next
situation.
In the
what personal situation?
His family's closer out there in Cincinnati. Wife family lives out there. Sean, you're on the Fan.
I think for Corbin Burns, they got to give him another shot. His next start, maybe pitch him with Pena. That way, see if he does better than with Grandal. Maybe that does have something to do with it, like Sparky's alluded to, the possibility. If he's still having issues, you got to send him down and get him right. You can't give up on him because of those four pitches and how fast he can throw it. If he can start locating and getting through more than just 3 to 4 innings, he could be a legitimate top-end starter in this league. The other thing as far as replacing him, if they have to send him down, do we know the status of Jimmy Nelson? I haven't heard much on his rehab recently.
Recently, I have not.
Appreciate it,
Sean. There was some video of him, I think it was last week, and he was looking nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And extended
one of those
spring.
Extended spring live
right.
VP situations.
Yep.
That's two. If you can bridge the gap to May with Corbin Burns and he's still strugging somewhat, not this bad.
See, and that's the other thing. You could say screw Gio Gonzalez and you could go with Keuchel. And then it could be Keuchel, Jimmy Nelson, Chacin, Davies, and Woodruff. If Jimmy Nelson is right, I feel much more comfortable with that rotation going forward.
Oh, no doubt.
He's right and Keuchel is right, then that rotation looks a million times better.
And it feels like it's the same song and dance that we've been saying for the last year and a half. What does this rotation look like if Jimmy Nelson is in it? It looks a lot better than it is right now.
It's hard to say, oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
You were expecting him to be back in July last year.
Right.
We're still talking about in middle of April. We'll bring this back at 5 o'clock. Will the Brewers be making a mistake sending down Corbin Burns? Also talk to Paul Wagner, guy that's been in these situations, former major league pitcher, what he thinks in about 15 minutes. But next, talk some NFL draft with Dan Shonka. Packers, offensive line, inside linebacker. Sparky has his eye on a couple. We'll ask Dan Shonka where he thinks Packers go at 12 and 30 next. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. How you listen to a Steve Sparky fight for myself, Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, with you till 6 o'clock. Leroy Butler joins us in about a half hour, joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's for Our Lads Draft Services. Dan Shonka talks NFL draft with us inside of a week away. Dan, appreciate the time. The Packers at 12 and 30. First, we'll focus on 12. Does it feel more like an offensive line situation there, or there's plenty of defensive linemen that could be there as well, but it feels like a big boy is going to be on the radar of the Green Bay Packers there inside the top 15?
Well, I understood that the Packer fans would give up all their cheese, beer, and brat stock to get a guy like Devin White. Am I wrong?
Yes. Yes, we would. Yes. Yes. Yes, we would.
He probably won't be there. That's the sticky wicket, you know. Or, hey, how about the Willis Hawkeye tight ends? Now, there's a couple there that...
Not at 12. No. No, I don't want them at 12, Dan. No, at 30? Dan, at 30, I'm with you, buddy. I'm not doing that at 12, man. Uh-uh.
I hope Aaron Rodgers is not listening.
I don't care if he is. Don't matter. It don't matter.
Okay, so now who do you want, Sparky?
Hey, look, I'll take, like you said, I'll take White. I'll even take Bush, the other inside linebacker, at 12 either. I'll consider that. I'll consider a pass-rushing linebacker, a defensive lineman. I'll do that. I'll even listen to Leroy Butler, who's not here yet, and take one of his goofy offensive linemen if he wants at 12. We can do that, too. But this is my thing, because they're bringing in quarterbacks up there, right? Up in Green Bay, yeah. And people are starting to freak out a little bit, like, oh my God, don't take a quarterback at 12. But of those top four guys in this draft right now, one or two guys you see possibly sliding down to around Green Bay at 30?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I mean, it all depends on how many quarterbacks that these teams, how many second tier or backup quarterbacks are going to be drafted in the first round, and the Packers are jumping up and down and saying, hey, we want all those quarterbacks to go because somebody's going to fall good to them if that happens.
Well, that's just it. Of those quarterbacks, how do you have them ranked on your board right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, Haskins is our top guy, okay? He's got to go to the right spot now, but Murray is second, but he's truly a system quarterback. And every quarterback's not a system quarterback, although most of them are, but Murray's got to go, you know, to the right system for him to succeed. And then we got Finley from North Carolina State, who is super accurate, and he's not, quote, sexy, and he's not out, running his mouth and all that stuff, telling everybody how good he is and all that. All he does is do the job, and he's accurate and makes great decisions. And then we got Jones at number four from Duke, and then Locke is five. And we got Finley, Jones, and Locke all in the second round.
Because Drew Locke's the one that most recently made news going up here visiting with Green Bay. Dan, when you look at the rest of those quarterbacks, when you bring up Finley in that second round, do you believe he'd be one of those guys, though, if he comes into that second round, that 44 spot for the Packers, would be more likely to get in where he fits in with Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, I do, because he's a guy that I've studied him for a long time, and the guy's accuracy, decision-making, he's very smart. And if you don't have accuracy, you don't have good decision-making, you can't succeed in the NFL as a quarterback. And people don't seem to get that message, and you have all these guys get drafted, and every year you see guys just fall by the wayside. You know, Bortles going to the third pick in the draft. Hey, he was the same way. He wasn't ready to go and all that, and he gets taken. So, I mean, it's on and on and on every year, but there's going to be three quarterbacks or four like that in this draft, and same thing's going to happen to them.
Okay, so now let's go back up to 12, where the Packers are currently sitting. So at 12, give me your top three guys, maybe an offensive lineman, a pass rusher, whatever, that if you're Green Bay, you think all three guys could be there for the take.
Well, I think that one of those linemen, I think Dillard can be there from Washington State. You know, I think Juwan Taylor could be there from Florida. And at 30, you look at McGarry down there, you know, and 30, and same way with Little. I think Little might be available at 32. But I don't know if Williams from Jonah Williams from Alabama will be there or not at 12. But if he is, I mean, he'd be a heck of a – I mean, you talk about a guy who could play every position. I mean, he'd be a great pick for a lot of teams at, you know, 12, 5, 13, 14, anywhere in that middle. Because he's, like I said, if he doesn't somehow make it at tackle – see, we worry a little bit about his lower body thickness and everything, you know, to be able to anchor. But he's got really good feet, and he can move people out. His arms are a little bit short, but he's a very good technician. So – But we think he could be an all-pro guard or even center, okay? Tackle, I think he'd be, you know, a good, usable, serviceable tackle. So you're getting a 5-for-1 guy if you draft him at 12.
All right, let's continue on talking with Dan Shonka, our guy from Our Lads Draft Service. We've had him on for years here on The Fan. Always turn to him come draft time. Okay, Dan, so let's look at it from a different position. Let's look at it from a pass-rushing position. There's some reports out there that Sweat may be coming off of draft boards because of a possible heart condition. What are you hearing there, and would he be a consideration for you at 12?
You know, I don't think so, because he's got more than a heart condition. I mean, the heart condition, I think, is, you know, he has the same thing that Maurice Hurst had. That's my understanding.
Okay.
You know, and Hurst ended up, you know, doing fine out of Oakland. But, you know, he got run out of Michigan State for a problem that he had there you know, not passing certain tests that you got to pass. And then so he's got some problems there at Mississippi State, too. And I think that might be the other thing that's going to knock him down. You know, I don't know if he'll end up going to the second round. I don't know if he's a Gregory-type guy from Dallas, you know, if it's that far along. But, you know, he's going to have to – he's going to fall. And when he does, you'll know why. It's not only just that heart thing. So – no, he won't be there, but Pharrell from Clemson would be.
Mm-hmm. Dan, those Clemson guys, those three dudes on that defensive line, which one of those do you think is the most intriguing pro prospect to you, Farrell, Wilkins, and Lawrence?
God, I tell you what, they're all for a different scheme. You got a great nose tackle, you know, there, and then you also got a tremendous all-around defensive end. Wilkins is, you know, the tackle and the defensive end. He can play anywhere, and even at nose tackle, in a certain scheme, you know, he could be a cocked nose tackle. So, you know, I think that, and then Pharrell, he's a tremendous, hard-working blue-collar defensive end that all he does is he's relentless and he wears you out. So depending on what scheme they're going to, what team, you know, I like all three of them. You know, and but I think a lot of, you know, one of them might be there. I don't know, but maybe Lawrence could possibly be there at 30 because of the quarterbacks and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, get taken. But I don't think Wilkins will. I don't think Pharrell will.
What about Simmons, who everybody has New England taken at 30, a defensive lineman coming off a major injury, also has some questions off the field in his past. Would you gamble on him at 30? Big defensive lineman.
Right. For what I know right now, I would. Normally, I would say no, but, you know, he's been, you know, remorseful for, you know, 3 years. He hasn't had any problems, and all he does is work hard on the field and works hard in the weight room and all that. So, yes, I would take a shot at him at 30, but I'm beginning to wonder if he'll even be there. You know, I think that some other teams are going to look at it the same way and say, hey, we're going to put him on PUP after we draft him in come fall. He'll be able to play toward the end of the fall a little bit. In a year from now, you know, he'll be ready to go 100%. So it might be a steal at 30.
Let's talk about second-round pick now, beginning of the second round where the Packers are picking there. I think a lot of people want to see him take a safety at 30 or at the beginning of the second round. They already got Amos from the Bears. Who do you like pairing with Amos at the safety position?
Well, I'll tell you a guy I really like, and I don't think a lot of folks talk about him, but is Thornhill from Virginia. This is a safety with corner skills. He's a tremendous athlete. He's very productive on the field. I mean, that's what you want, a guy that's great on the field, and then it matches up with you know, his workout stuff. So Juan Thornhill from Virginia is a guy that I think would be a great matchup there. Gardner Johnson possibly from Florida, University of Florida, and depending on how he's used, Hooker from Iowa, you know, he's moved right. The hybrid safety is what he's going to end up being, you know, a linebacker safety guy that you can move around as a puzzle piece. And then Abram from Mississippi State is another one that, you know, it's just kind of depends on your defensive scheme and how you want to use these guys and how they're going to fit. That's the way they're going to come off the board. Abram might be the first even over Thornhill, you know, then Thornhill might be up there, and then, you know, Hooker, and then Gardner Johnson. So they've all got some really good athletic ability and productivity in their careers.
Tom and Dan Shank of Our Lads Draft Service. All right, call your shot. 12 and 30. Who do the Packers take?
Well, I'll tell you, is Bush or White there? I'll make it easy on me.
I think Bush is there for sure, don't you?
I think Bush is there for sure.
I don't know. But if he is, boy, I'll tell you, I would take Bush for the Packers. I'd stick him right in there. And then, you know, at 30, if Simmons is there and he's okay with all the Packers, I would go between him, you know, and Lawrence, boy, I'll tell you what, I think he can do more, Simmons, so I'd go with Simmons.
Simmons would have been what, a top 5, top 10 pick had he not gotten hurt?
10.
Top 10.
Ten to 12. I mean, just, you know, all depends on all the quarterbacks. But, yeah, he'd be right up in there.
It's a great value at 30, then.
Also depends on all those big Iowa tight ends. Sparky's going to be so upset if they grab one of those Hawkeye tight ends.
At 30, I don't care. I don't care at 30. If Ant or Hawkinson falls to 30, I'm fine. Just not at 12.
No, Sparky, I understand. No, really, you're correct. You know, but I see Hawkinson going 7 and 6. That's crazy.
Yep,
that's crazy talk. You know, but hey, boy, he'd jump all over him at 30 in a minute.
Yeah, you could get him at 30. That'd be one of the steals of the draft. Dan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Dan Shonka, Our Lads Draft Services. Man, is there anyone better in the business? Just awesome.
He's so fun to talk to.
On the Great Midwest Bank hotline, Dan joined us. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Stick on that Great Midwest Bank hotline. Talk to Paul Wagner, former MLB pitcher, next about the struggles that Corbin Burns is going through. Talk to somebody that went through those struggles. He'll tell you he went through a lot more, too, than he did when he joins Wendy's Big Show next. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Wendy's fresh, never frozen inbox. Leroy Butler's here. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, myself, Bill Schmidt, baby Tauschen right now. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline, former MLB pitcher, Paul Wagner joins us. Wags, what's happening, man? Long time no talk.
Billy boy. All right.
Paul, want to ask you right out of the gates, man. When you're a young guy like Corbin Burns is, he's now really entering like his third year of full-time pro ball, and he's going through these major struggles at the major league level. Do you believe it would be a mistake for them to send Burns down right now to, granted, allow him to work on his stuff and still start games, but does that damage his confidence at all at this point in time?
Absolutely. You know, the old cliche, bumps in the road, they all go through them, depending on whether you go through it your first year, your second year, or as you said, possibly his third. You're going to look back at this, and things are going to be, by All-Star break, we're probably going to forget about these potholes that we hit in the beginning. You know, going into the season with three young starters, you had to realize that this is what's going to happen. When we used to play, we used to say, we got a slug. We're going to out-slug them. So you know what? This first half of the year, the Brewers are going to have to outslug people. And then in the back half of the year, then we start to pitch, and then we start to play the game. But we got a slug.
Okay. So the reason we wanted you on really is because I really want to talk about the changing of the catchers and the changing of the pitching coaches here. We were just talking earlier in the show about Derek Johnson not being here and Chris Hook being here. Chris Hook came up through the farm system with the Brewers, and everybody seemingly likes Chris Hook, and that's fine. But Derek Johnson, in my mind, was a proven commodity. And we just looked up because the Reds got a bunch of retreads pretty much for their rotation. They're third in the NL in ERA, almost two full runs better than the Brewers, who are second to last in the NL at this point. And then you make this change at catcher as well, bringing in Grandal, who got to catch in a very, very pitcher-friendly ballpark in L.A. for the Dodgers and now is in a bandbox, essentially, here at Miller Park. How much do you put on both of those guys with these young pitchers at this point still trying to figure everything out?
First off and foremost, DJ is a great pitching coach. I've known him. I've known about him. I've talked to him. I've sat down with him. He's great. Coming back with Chris, I don't know him. He's been in the minor league system. He's been part of these guys coming up. But there's a comfort level. No matter what sport you play, no matter where you are, no matter what position you have, there's a comfort level, and you always sometimes see these when guys sign big multi-year contracts. Sometimes that first year is kind of a get-to-know-me type of situation. I think it's big. I think it really is big. And, you know, I hate to say it and put too much pressure on the changing of the guard at a catching spot or a pitching position because we're all grown men, and you got to learn to play. You got to learn to adjust. And, you know, there's always going to be situations that you don't agree with or you don't like, but you're a big leaguer. You know what? You're not in high school, you're not in college, you're a big leaguer, and you got to make the adjustment, and you got to win.
Yeah, I understand that Burns is going through something, but you also have to look on the other side that Zach Davies is looking very good for you. So you would, you know, I think that, to me, I thought that was a pleasant surprise. But I agree with your first assessment. You got to outslug people nowadays. I mean, you all knew that you were going to play these first 20, 30 games. They were going to be tough. But you have to score more than one run to win games.
Absolutely. It's we're going to slug, but don't go down on these pitchers. You know, they are learning, and it's a tough gig to learn at this level against the best, but it's only going to reap benefits in the long run. And we saw postseason experience plays a big, heavy part in everything we do. So, I don't get so frustrated. Don't get so upset, or don't get so paranoid. And these guys are going to be fine. We're going to outslug them. We're going to put runs up. And we'll be just fine.
I'm going to talk about the two guys who are struggling at the plate. You know, Aguilar and Shaw, those guys have had opportunities when runners in scoring positions to come up big, and they haven't done it yet. And I think that's what's really been notable to me, because normally these guys put up, you know, big numbers, especially home runs, especially Aguilar.
Right. Every sport we have, you know, even though a guy hits 24 to 26 home runs in the first, he comes back. He did cool down in the second half of last year. But you know what? The report's out. You've got to make adjustments every year. Nobody, when you look at a Christian Yelich and you just roll your eyes because you can't believe how phenomenally good he is, it's a tough game, and guys have to make adjustments. Pitchers are making adjustments on Jesus, and Jesus has got to make adjustments on pitchers. He should come around. Like you said, he's got too much pop in his bat. He's worked too hard to get to where he is. He's had to struggle to get that opportunity to play. I think you're going to have to pull it from him and force him to give it up. And I just give him a little bit more time, because he'll be all right.
Wags, talk about slugging. What's going on in that pitcher's room with the bats in their hands? They're hitting almost 400. The combined starting pitchers have really – but all jokes aside, a 12-8 mark, the pitchers hitting the baseball like they have in the bottom of the order, especially with Lando, what he's done in the first couple of weeks, they've kept him afloat because of the middle guys like Leroy just mentioned, Shaw and Aguilar, haven't necessarily pulled their weight all year long.
Hey, numbers don't lie. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to stay up that high, but hey, it's great to see it. And when pitchers take BP, pitchers play games, we go for home runs, we put money in the pot, the first guy to go deep in BP takes the pot that night, you do sacrifice bunts. When you get runners over, you know, there's a little kangaroo court for pitchers, and pitchers take pride in that, because in the National League, if you can't get a bunt down, you can't move a run over or put the ball in play, you're going to be taken out in the fourth, fifth inning. Granted, it's a little bit different scenario here in Milwaukee with Craig, but in generally speaking, nationally, with the pitcher flipping at the nine hole and a pinch hitter coming in, if you can't advance a runner or help yourself, you're out of the game. So that's why National League pitchers have become better at hitting and play games to better themselves.
Man, Woody would be making a nice little side hustle if he was playing back with you guys. That guy can just rake the ball over the yard.
I'd have to go on the DL. I think when he takes BP, I go to the DL.
You know, the other thing, talking with Paul Wagner here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, the Wendy's Big Show. How much of this do you think plays into, if they do decide to make a move here with Corbin Burns going down to AAA, how much of it do you think plays into who they've been playing on the schedule, who they still have to play on the schedule for the next month or so? Because this schedule has been very intense NL playoff teams. You know, maybe Tosh brought it up earlier, who Corbin Burns has faced, the Dodgers, the Cardinals already a couple of times, possibly a third time if they don't send him down. How much of that do you think plays into it?
I hope it doesn't, because if you're starting to look at schedule and you're looking to see who's next week, what next series has come, you know, when you start trying to plan it out, I heard a long time ago in this game when someone said to me, when you think you got it all figured out and you got it right, you're wrong. Because you know what? It happens. It's a funny, humbling game. You can't look at that. You just got to look at where his pitches are. Make sure his velocity stays the same. Make sure that we're not losing necessarily velocity for effectiveness, but velocity to make sure that he's not hurting, that he's not struggling. Make sure that his rotations and his spin ratios are the same on certain pitches, just to make sure that there's nothing wrong there. If there's nothing physically wrong, he stays in the lineup, he stays in the rotation, and he just betters himself. Going down to AAA to go down and face Pawtucket or Richmond or Buffalo, that will do him no good, especially what these guys have accomplished last year in the postseason and almost going to the World Series. It would be more of a negative than a positive.
Wags, final thing for you. What have you seen from JJ his first couple of times up on the big league mound?
Yeah, it's tough. hey, I tell you what, you know, a lot of guys come back. I'm not worried much about Corey. I'm not going to jump ship, but Corey with the Tommy John surgery, when you have elbows issues, those are easier to come back, or with a timetable, you can come back probably full strength, if not better. I've gone through both of them. When you have a shoulder strain or a shoulder separate lat roll, maybe a rotator, a lesion in the labrum or something like that, I tell you what, the shoulder is a tough, tough bird, and his velocity will be the last thing to come if it comes back. So he's going to have to make adjustments. You have to keep the ball down. He's going to have to work on the things that DJ taught him with that split change. He's going to have to work on the breaking ball more. He's going to have to incorporate it because he can't, JJ can't go in there and blow fastballs by people anymore, at least not right now in the stage of the game.
Hey, Wags, you still doing pitching lessons?
Hey, we're over at Sticks Academy. Absolutely. It's in Waukesha, right over there off of 43 where, you know, it's I tell you what, we got some good ball players in the state of Wisconsin, and baseball's looking good. But yes, everything's going on with Wisconsin changing to all spring high school baseball. It's kind of consolidated the players to all high school right now. But as soon as summer picks up, we're going to have some summer leagues and some travels, some great, great baseball in the state of Wisconsin. And the kids are working hard. They have been a long time, and they're going to start reaping benefits as they move on in their careers.
I have a very, very important question. Why do some people say Waukesha and why do others say Waukesha?
I also say Oconomowoc.
No, well, so do I. I say Oconomowoc too. It's just funny because it's like either it's racing or russing. It's Waukesha or Waukesha. It all depends on who you talk to. I lived in Waukesha. I've always called it Waukesha. And Paul, for as long as I've known him, has always called it Waukesha.
He must be one of those Waukesha townies. Paul, I'm looking into one of these 1992 Upper Deck cards here. And if you want to learn the right mechanics, look at this beautiful right-hander's movement as he's wearing that beautiful Pittsburgh Pirates jersey that we got here in the
Nobody's
fan
ever said
studios.
That. Nobody's ever said Pirates is beautiful. Well, there's nothing beautiful
that
about the Pirates.
43, man. Paul Wagner made that thing look
he
good.
He may be beautiful. That jersey's ugly as hell.
Hey, whatever you do, whenever you find a baseball card of mine, you keep the front side. Don't look at the back side. Those numbers are wrong. Those big numbers, that's BS. And you know what? The internet lies. I was a good pitcher.
It does lie. You're right. Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, boys. Be good.
That's Paul Wagner, former MLB pitcher, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Man, every time I'm hanging out with Wags, I think that I could just pull up, grab a Buffett and grab a nice six-pack, maybe a 12-pack, a six-pack of those cans, the Chris Pilsner cans. That would go real nice, and Wags would be able to wash it down with some great conversation. Guys, if you want to hang out like that, it's going to be beautiful this weekend. Grab a premium quality beer due to its superior ingredients. It's going to be a great Easter weekend, that's for sure. Only 100% natural barley hops and fresh spring water used in the production of Bofording beer. It's been made that way for over 250 years in a family-owned brewing experience started in 1764 in the country of Luxembourg, the United States of America. That started in 1776, so just give you some context there. And guys, ever since then, the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness has been in pursuit of the Bofording beer lineup. All four beers from the Chris Pilsner, which is available in cans, the smooth triple ale, 8% ABV by volume, and the delicious fruit ale as well as the balanced Brune are all designated to give you full flavor of beer that doesn't fill you up. I say full flavor because you don't have to supplement it with a piece of fruit like other imports to make it taste good. Bofording is made great because, unlike other imports, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. It's not made in mass quantities. Instead, Bofording is made in small batches with a personal family touch. Guys, excited to say tomorrow at Total Wine & More in Greenfield and in Brookfield, a Bofording sampling going out from 12 to 3. 12 to 3. Total Wine & More in Greenfield and in Brookfield. You can get yourself some Bofording. Test out those as well. As now, this week, Bofording available in more places than ever before. Most Festival Foods, Sendix, and Piggly Wiggly locations, as well as Sussex Liquor and Hilldale Liquor. Guys, it's Bofording beer, and whenever you're having a Bofording, let Bofording Bill know at Bill Schmidt Radio, and Bofording Bill might come and have a Bofording on you. Bofording is Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. Leroy Butler's here. Sparky is here as well. And I'm hanging out with you guys. We got a lot more till 6. We still got John Heyman and Adam McAlvey. A lot more Brewers talk. Get a little Bucks talk in here, too. Still a Fear the Deer Friday, 105.7 FM, The Fan on the Wendy's Big Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.